Okay, well, it's time to get started. So hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us today for this CIDR presentation. Before we get started, if you just entered the room, Sylvia Curry was just talking about the Shaping Our Future conference, and the information is on the board right now for anyone who's interested, and the link is there. I'll put that up again at the end of the session. And also, I want to remind everyone that all of our CIDR sessions are recorded and available from the CIDR site. So if you'd like to go back and review a session or know of a colleague who wished to attend today but wasn't able to, I'm going to post the link in the text box there, and you can pass it on or go back to that at any time. I'm going to do that now. There you go. Now I'd like to introduce today's presenter, Dr. Madhumita Bhattacharya. Dr. Bhattacharya, or Mita as she likes to be called, came to Canada in August of 2000 last year from New Zealand, where she was a senior lecturer in the College of Education at Massey University. Dr. Bhattacharya has been teaching and researching in the area of e-learning since 1996. She did her postdoctoral research in the area of design, development, and evaluation of collaborative learning environments at the Tokyo Institute of Technology in Japan. In 2007, she received grants from the British Council and Hewlett-Packard for research in the area of e-learning. And currently, she is an associate professor at Athabasca University in the Center for Distance Education. And she's involved there in the design and development of the master's and doctoral courses, or some of them. Her current research projects include studying the effectiveness of e-portfolios and, of course, our topic for today, which is the development and use of appropriate tools for analyzing qualitative data that's available in blogs and wikis. Dr. Bhattacharya will be stopping periodically to invite discussion, and at that time, we encourage you to click on the microphone in the bottom left corner of your screen if you have any questions or comments. And if someone else is speaking, you can use the hands up button in the participant box to indicate that you'd like to speak next. If you don't have audio capabilities today, you can also type a message in the text box. I know there's a few people. And I'm going to try and bring any questions and comments that are there to Mita's attention. Also, Mita will be doing a quick poll just to find out where people are coming from today and what their answers are. And she'll be just doing a yes or no poll, which you can respond to by clicking on the green check mark in the toolbar at the top if your answer is yes, and the red check mark if your answer is a no. And we'll just do a quick practice here, and anyone who's coming here today from Canada, put a green check mark down, and if you're not in Canada, put the red X down. And I think everyone can see those. I have it set so that everyone can see those. Great. Looks like, oh, Kurt's not from Canada. And Minhaj, I spoke to. Kim, it's just along the top toolbar there. And I think just about everyone's got it figured out. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Bhattacharya. We're very happy that you were able to find the time to share with us today, Mita. And I'll turn the mic over to you now.
Thank you, Lian, for your introduction. Before I start, it is good to tell you something more about myself, because then you can see the link between my research and my work in different places all over the world. At the moment, as Lian said, that I am at the Center for Business Education at Athabasca University, but at the same time, I have still a faculty position at the College of Education at Massey University, where I'm supervising my research students and ongoing and working on my ongoing research projects. Other than these two affiliations at the moment, I studied, worked, and lived in a few other countries. I was born and brought up in India, from there, I went to UK on a British Council grant in it while doing my PhD. I also went to Nepal on a World Bank project to work as an education technology consultant. I was in Japan for my postdoctoral research, as Leanne mentioned. And also, I finished my later part of my postdoctoral research at National Institute of Multimedia Education in Japan. Before that, I was in Tokyo Institute of Technology. Then I took a faculty position in Singapore at the National Institute of Education. And from there, I went on a Commonwealth grant to the University of Sydney in Australia. And in 2002, again, I went to Japan. That was in Hyogo Institute of Teacher Education. While in Japan, second time, I started also working as a visiting professor for the University of Tartu in Estonia, where I worked for the development of their postgraduate curriculum in master's and for master's and PhD program. And then I moved to New Zealand in 2003 and in Canada in 2007. So this is my short bio, and I will link my research to this, where I was and what I was doing. Now let's move to the topic of today's presentation, tools for analysis of research data collected from wikis and blogs. So you have already introduced yourself, but I'm not sure what is the procedure here. That do we get introduction from all the participants? Leanne, could you tell me that? Okay. So now I will move to the second slide, where I will like to find out about your experience with blogs and wikis. So if you just tick and cross about your, if you have ever posted in wikis, shall I move to the next one? Okay. So my next question is, do you have your own blogs?
I'm just giving everybody a minute here.
Okay, now the next question comes is, do you think wikis and blogs could be used for research purposes?
Mita, would you like everyone to just type their answer into the text box there?
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Wow, are you getting all of this, Mita? You've got quite a list here of uses, a lot of mostly collaboration or collaborative kind of activities, though.
Yeah, I see that, and that is good, because that is one of the main purpose. And I don't know if anyone said no, then if not, then why not? There are there could be reasons for that also. That means we all agree that, yeah, blogs and wikis could be used for research purposes. And mainly for research data collection also, again, it depends like what kind of data you want to gather and how you'd like to analyze. So that this research actually started way back, and it became like that time when I started, there were no wikis or blogs available. These tools were not available. So how we started this research is like, if you look at the lifelong learners, the graduate profile of our students who come out from the universities, then we see that they should have all these competencies and skills. But the question is that, how do you know that, or how do you provide that opportunities for students to develop these skills? Now, I will follow a storytelling approach here, and which is not in the chronological order. So it moves back and forth as a dynamic process between components of research problem, research methodology, data collection, and tools for analysis. So this is the main question here, is how do you gather that data, and how do you let people know that students have acquired those skills or not acquired those skills. So now for this, the first thing is that it is not sufficient to confine our assessment of learning to the formal learning only. So we also need to go beyond that. And that is like including informal and non-formal learning, where say students, if they are involved in a club activity which is non-formal, and then what they're learning there could be also gathered. And also the learning from informal situations like from media or from community. So then we thought that there is a possibility, and we introduced the e-portfolio when I was in Singapore in 2001. That was the starting point when I introduced the e-portfolio, and still I'm working on that. I'm moving to different institutes. Okay, then we thought, okay, there is a platform where the students can record those, but the e-portfolio platforms are also developing, and we move from one platform to another. Then we thought, okay, e-portfolio is good for individual learning, but it is a little bit difficult. It was difficult at that time, it's not anymore, to gather the collaborative learning or the communication going on in between the students. So in this model I developed is in 1997 when I started I was doing my postdoctoral research in Japan. And at that time I developed a system, computer-based system for problem-based learning, because I was introduced to problem-based learning when I went to UK in 1994. So then I thought at that time I didn't think about that we really have to analyze these, what students are learning individually, what in collaboration, and what kind of decision they made, and what kind of metacognitive skills they develop. But then this came into use when I moved to New Zealand in 2003, where they were developing a curriculum, integrated curriculum for science and technology, where we found that it is PBL is the best way to integrate those curriculum. And there we thought that we have to see how the students are interacting, because this PBL is always in group activities, and sometimes the students are working in a distance. So here we saw that, okay, students came with their own experience, with own personal knowledge, and then they interact and build up a collaborative knowledge, and which follows the social constructivist theory. Now again, this is a problem that what the interaction is going on, how the knowledge is being, collaborative knowledge is being constructed, what is the level of thinking, and all these we wanted to do research on. So then we have to have some ways of recording those. So what initially what we have done is the students, we asked the students, okay, you keep your thinking log when you are working in collaborative groups or individually, and they were, because the students were not meeting face to face all the time, and they most of the work I have done with, they were external students, and they used to use WebCT as the platform. So they used to chat, discuss, maybe have telephone conversation, face-to-face meetings also if they are nearby, and so they can meet face-to-face. And also we asked them to do self-reflection on the process of learning and also reflecting on the artifacts they have created or skills they have acquired. So this was for problem-based learning, as well as the self-reflection was a part of the e-portfolio also. So, but you can see that there are many different sources of data, and it was a huge amount of work for the students to gather all those and produce that to demonstrate their thinking and the collaborative knowledge construction. Now, how do you assess that? Because, okay, if the students have demonstrated, given their thinking log, and also their self-reflection, then the question is how we measure those. So I started with developing this model for the assessment of self-reflection when I was in Singapore in 2001, and then later on I have added some features. It is from David Jonathan's work, and then I have added some features like the buoyancy or the responsibility. So a problem or a learning environment should provide all these, and that was the basis for developing the tool for also for the wikis and blogs. Then I developed this tool, which was actually generated from the attributes of meaningful learning. And once we have developed this, then we have found that, okay, these are linked, and this we are doing at the end of the study when the students have already done their work. So then we thought it is not only multidimensional will not work only because it is a process we want to measure and assess. So then we went to multidimensional and multi-stage model where the students will be evaluated we will see the process through different activities. So this we only implemented in 2007. So now those data from different sources was really difficult for us. And then we thought that maybe the blogs and wikis will be the best sources of data. So now you can see that once we didn't have the tools to measure what the interactions are going on, and then we got the tools, and then the data we were getting was difficult to gather and analyze using the tool. Then we found that wikis and blogs, where the students can keep all the record of their collaborative activity, self-reflection in one place, and then we can actually see through and analyze. So that was possible when I got this HP Technology for Teaching Award last year, and the tablet PCs, which has a wireless network card, and the students can access the network and produce their blogs as they are working or doing their work. So that was an advantage, and the tool we have used, the tool which I have shown before, So that was the tool we have used. So we can talk about that if you have any questions later on in the session. Now, here we could see, okay.
Hi, Meeta. I just wanted to point out that Bill had a question that he had posted. He wanted to know if the wiki and blog records were cross-linked by participants.
Yes, they referred to that, wiki and blog records. And also it's mentioned that CMAP tool, yeah, CMAP tool we use also for the students to initially when they get the problem scenario, and then they say what investigation they would like to do, and brainstorming session they use the CMAP tools or other concept mapping tools. Yeah, any other question at this stage?
Well, I guess a related question, what I saw that you characterized that went into the wikis and the blogs were, in a way, process notes and thoughts and reflections. But what about the actual knowledge? You mentioned that part of the work was constructing knowledge. And where is the sort of repository of that knowledge as it's being constructed? Were the wikis and blogs used in any way for that?
Okay, that actually depends. We give the flexibility to the students to do it in any manner they want. But last semester they used it Microsoft Office OneNote, and that OneNote actually has the possibility of doing collaborative work as well as recording audio and video, and all this is in one place, and that worked well. So I still, because the assignments are being graded at the moment, and after that I will have the access to those. So then I will see that how that worked, because previously they used to give a presentation, or we used to have on web-based also they used to provide. We have a problem-based learning tool developed in Massey University. There they also posted, but that it is flexible, so students can produce the knowledge anywhere. But as you have suggested, that blogs and wikis also could be, because what now they are doing is in the reflection, because when they have to refer to the artifact, then they have to link it to the artifact, and some way that is already included. But if you see in the project they are doing on problem-based learning, then they have to show that how from the initial problem they started and how they worked through, and finally they arrived at the solution, or may not arrived at the solution. But the process, there was no possibility of recording the process at one place. So that was possible with wikis and blogs. And then the knowledge part was linked to that process, that what happened, when happened, how happened. Does that make sense? Okay, and thank you. So yeah, the concept mapping was one of the major part in this activity, because collaborative work was could not be possible without that, because if someone is not putting their thinking and there is no visual available, then it is difficult to understand each other. So now from here you can, now in this one you can see that now the students may not have the other skills, but they were collaborative and quite a lot, and then the collaboration towards the end there is not much. This is one of the typical the visual I'm showing, the evaluation of learning. So they're not collaborating that much at the end, because here you can see the collaboration is going on, but higher order metacognitive skills are more, you can see, and their balance you can see when at the top. And this has been observed in most of the groups for most of the students, that maybe initially they were not so much, they couldn't cover that much of area at the bottom level. But then definitely there is an increase and development of the skills. Now the question is that how we analyze this. We have a scale also developed. It's not one but multiple scales developed for different kinds of activities. If the teacher is willing to just measure only one assignment using this scale, then that assessment criteria will be very different. Criteria means, I say, the grid, the guidelines for the levels 1, 2, 3. So it's not only one, but we have developed multiple. And I will talk about you what are the problems we are facing at the moment, but let's move to the next slide. Now, what are the benefits we got from using blogs and wikis is that we could visualize the learning process. It may be possible to collect this data. It may not be possible to collect this data otherwise, because some information was being lost and before, because students could not remember or put everything at one place. So we then thought that this is the best place to put everything together. And then also we could see that identify the factors or the learner characteristics which associated with success or failure. So that was another point that was very informative for us. And then we know that if the groups are not collaborating, not communicating, why and how we can encourage them to do that, and otherwise maybe that could be one of the reasons for failure. And then also provides the opportunity to evaluate and analyze their own thinking, because they can see that how they are progressing and how the thinking is changing through interaction, through working through the problem or while working on their portfolio. Now the drawbacks here are there. So I think it is very difficult to analyze manually, and then that is very time consuming, the data, and the continuous feedback is not available to the students. That is, we have these three layers and we are assessing. The last semester actually we did that we had a midterm assessment throughout the process, and then we gave feedback to the students. So we'd like to see that what happened, if that made a difference in their final performance. Then it is also difficult to make decisions. So this is the problem, as I was mentioning before. This is the problem we are facing, is because it is very not clear sometimes. If statements are not clear, and it is very difficult to judge where actually and for what category we should mark them. And we need different tools to analyze different kinds of data. So that is another issue with the blogs and wikis. Because this data, what we are analyzing, we have developed the tool. But we have to adapt this tool, make changes, or make different tools for analyzing different kinds of data. And also the interlinking between different data, as you said, that wikis and blogs are the linked. Yes, they are linked, and we move back and forth and see and to evaluate one's individual performance. But again, that is another thing we have to think about, how we do it more efficiently. No, I will take your questions, and either you can type or say, and then we talk, and then I will move to the final slide.
I saw that Glenn had a question about IRB issues. Did you want to address that, Glenn, or were you? I'll just hand over the mic to you.
Well, just that was my only question, and I'm not sure if this is part of your presentation today, but what IRB issues might you face when using data from blogs and wikis? Any special circumstances?
No, I didn't have any because we had the students' consent beforehand, and we could use the data available. That is another thing is that we have to have a full ethics approval for that, because otherwise most of the time what you used to do before is just accessing the data only after they complete the assignment and grading is done. So that's why I said that is the drawback. We are not able to provide the feedback to the students while they're doing the work. But last semester we did, and we provided feedback to the students, but that we have not used that data for any research purpose at the moment. But once they finish, then we will use.
And also, Bill had some questions about peer formative assessments. For example, embedded and transformative assessment generated by the community of learners. Maybe you should talk to that, Bill, too.
Well, I'm just thinking that you were saying assessment was difficult, but presumably in this situation you're dealing with the quality of learning and assessment that's deeply embedded in the learning, and especially assessment, self-assessment and peer assessment is very powerful, and it's particularly powerful if the group is trying to generate knowledge, because they're always critiquing and bringing in other sources, weighing evidence, figuring out what ideas are good for, synthesizing, etc. So assessment runs along with it. And I just wondered whether that was a central part of the learning situation that you were dealing with. And if so, then how you assess that sort of assessment.
Yeah, that was also considered because we didn't give any marks for self-assessment or peer assessment, but that was a part, and we have other similar scales developed for self-assessment and peer assessment, because the things that which the teacher, I or anyone else may not be able to see, but what is happening in the group. So those tools were more meaningful before, when we were not able to see what is going on in between the groups. But once they started giving the thinking log, so that was a little bit visible to us. And then now with the blogs and wikis, it was quite transparent, and we can see that how the decisions they are being made, what level of thinking they're doing, who is asking, what kind of questions they are asking to each other. So those became much more visible, and then that means we can actually, after a self-assessment or peer assessment, we can also cross-check those and see that how they're assessing and how they're saying that their contribution is, does that match with what they have put in blogs and wikis.
If anyone else has any other questions, feel free to click on the microphone in the bottom left corner of your screen, or you can type comments or questions into the text box. Oh, sorry, I just saw Minhaj has a question there in the text box. Mita, could you address that? think you accidentally clicked on the microphone. Can you click on to hang it up?
Yeah, okay. And let me respond to Mina's question that how reliable they are and how valid this data is. So that is the main doubt about this kind of data. So, but at this time, what we are using them for is focused on the activity they're doing or the students who are developing their e-portfolio, say they are working on their Master of Distance Education degree at Athabasca University and they are working on their blogs. So that is focused on that area. But if it is not focused and people are putting their comments or their process of work, what they're studying or reading and what their thoughts, so that is difficult to analyze, but it's not impossible if you have proper tools and proper objectives of the research problem for that. Then it is possible to analyze and you can rely on, because otherwise if you say that we can't rely on blogs or wikis, then we should not also rely on interviews or survey questionnaire, because if people are not giving honest opinion or honest response, then we can't do anything for that. So it's another source of collecting data.
Thanks, Mita. Glenn also typed a question in for you.
No, I have not used that, Glenn, but if you have you used that, then if you can let the audience know and let me know how you have used that.
I'm just in the process of trying to figure out how to use it, and I hope to apply it to some of the research that I'm hoping to conduct. I'm just looking for more information about it. It seems like a natural extension of what we're doing here, especially when Atlas TI, for example, is trying to incorporate elements of social networking and collaborative research into the tool itself. So I thought that was kind of a nice coming together of a few different concepts. So just curious if anybody else might be using something like that.
Okay, good. Maybe I will also explore this then. Okay, I move to Mina's again. The next question is, don't you think surveys and wikis are very different in nature and their impact on research is probably irrelevant mutually? Yeah, they are different in nature. That's why I'm saying that it's more of a process in case of wikis and blogs, and not in surveys you can do at the end of a program or ask about someone's experience. So that they are different, and so that's why you have to decide for what purpose you want to use it. So otherwise, if you are not focused with what you want to get out of that, then if you just take one blog and try to do get out something from that for your research, maybe that won't be meaningful. So it has to be, the blogs has to be created for a purpose, and then the data gathered from there could respond to your research questions or what you are trying to find out. So it's more of for the process rather than a product post-facto research. And it's more of a qualitative research.
Did that answer your question, Minaj? Just you can grab the mic. Sorry, Minaj, I didn't hear anything. So I'm going to assume we can move on. Bill had typed in a few comments there. Oh, yeah, you did type in something there. Would it be helpful to have similar tools for analysis of blogs and wikis?
Yeah, I think yes, because I'm looking for people who are interested and would like to work on those other different tools, and also there are possibilities of modifying this tool and make it more simple to analyze the data, and how we could do that. And maybe we need people who are more efficient with computer, and they can program something so that it will make our task much easier.
Any other questions or comments? Just feel free to grab the microphone. That's fine.
Okay. If there is no more question, Lynn, if you have any question yourself, or Philip, you have questions, so please go ahead, and then I will move to the to my last slide.
I think you can go ahead. It's all clear. Thank you, Mita. Hi, Mita. Are you there?
Oh, sorry. My microphone, I don't know, went. It keeps going down. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sorry. I didn't hear anything after you at all. I think you had forgotten to click on the microphone after you had switched the slide. So you better talk to this slide again. Unless maybe it was just me. Did anyone else hear anything after the slide was switched?
Okay, no. Okay, so I should repeat. Yeah, I was telling what was the moral of the story, because I was talking about how I developed some tools and some criteria for my research at different stages and for different purposes, and then how it moved back and forth and amalgamate all the things. So I want to say that this is not a linear process. So research problem, if you have research problem, research methodology and research objectives, and then you have research data, and then you have tools for analyzing those data. So then sometime you may have tools, but then your data is not actually is not meant for that tool. Then you have to find out how you gather the data in different way. So that happened with us. So that means like it is not a fixed process, and it is very dynamic and moves back and forth.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Mita. Is there any questions or comments? Feel free at this point to click on the microphone.
Hi, it's Philip. I just thought I'd mention that Mita is also speaking at the CIDR session at the CNIE conference, actually this coming Sunday. And so if you're going to the conference, that's great, because Mita will be there and you can ask her more detailed questions. And as well, she'll be doing a similar talk on wikis and blogs at the CIDR session. So I'll give you another opportunity to understand a bit more about her work and research. So I just thought I'd add that in there. Thanks, Lynn.
Well, thanks, Philip. Yes, I was going to mention about that. That is a workshop, so maybe we'll have some hands-on activities using that tool.
Well, that's great, and I think that would be really worthwhile, Mita, to have those hands-on activities at the workshop. And I want to thank you for giving up some of your time today to share this research and your tools for analyzing the data in wikis and blogs with us today. And before we lose too many participants, because I know people have other obligations, I just wanted to go back and remind everybody of the conference coming up. So we have the Shaping Our Future conference coming up, which is being sponsored by the Learning Technology Center at the University of Manitoba, BC Campus, and CIDR and Illuminate. And that is going to be hosted by Terry Anderson and Sylvia Curry and George Siemens. And they're going to be looking at next steps towards creating a pan-Canadian research agenda. Participation for this conference is free. I don't know if I mentioned, it's a three-week conference starting on the 12th. And to register and for more information on the conference, just go to the link that's there, and I'll put it in the, I'll try to put it in the text box in a minute for you, okay? And I know they're looking for a lot of participation in this and information and feedback from people. So please take the time, as Sylvia implores you there in the text box, to join in on that. Oh, thank you, Sylvia. I saw you put it in there. It's kind of hard to multitask in here sometimes. And I also wanted to mention before you go that our next session is our next Saturday session is taking place on Friday, May 9th, usual time and place. And we're featuring Torstein Rekdal and Alexander Dye from the Norwegian Knowledge Institute. And they'll be discussing, sorry, I got a bit of a cold, mobile distance learning with PDAs. And that's all I'm going to say. It's up there. Sorry. So we hope you can join us for that. And again, thank you very much, Mita, for sharing your research with us. And the recording will be on the CIDR site for those of you interested in going back. And the PowerPoint will be there also. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you all for coming and here for my presentation. And thank you, Lynn, for giving me the opportunity to talk to the audience. There's a hand raised.
I believe it was Glenn who had his hand up. I don't know if he was trying to clap or if you had a question, Glenn, but just grab the mic.
Sorry, I was trying for applause, but thank you very much. A very fascinating presentation, and thanks for putting this on, Lynn.
Thank you. If you are interested in knowing more about it and would like to work, please let me know. My email address is there on the CIDR site and on my presentation also. Thank you for coming. Bye.